Bienvenidos, bienvenidos a todos al El Opera, el último sueño de Frida y Diego. Mi nombre es Jessica Bejarano y estoy encantada de hablarles sobre la belleza de lo que estamos a punto de presenciar. Welcome everyone, my name is Jessica Bejarano and this is the wonderful opera by Gabriela Lina Frank, El Último Sueño de Frida y Diego. I am thrilled to speak to you about the beauty we are about to experience tonight. El Último Sueño de Frida y Diego marks two very distinctive firsts for the San Francisco Opera. This is the first time that San Francisco Opera is performing a Spanish language opera. It is also the first time that San Francisco Opera is performing an opera composed by a woman. Yeah. It might have taken 100 years, but we are here now, and that's important. We are here, we're part of true diversity, inclusion, and celebration. Gabriela Lina Frank is the incredible composer behind this masterpiece. Gabriela is a Bay Area native. She is born to a father of Lithuanian Jewish descent, and her mother is a Peruvian of Chinese descent. Gabriela was also born with profound hearing loss. Gabriela is quoted as saying, "I firmly believe that only in the United States could a Peruvian, Chinese, Jewish, Lithuanian girl with significant hearing loss in a hippie town successfully create a life writing string quartets and symphonies," end quote. And now she can add to that ever-growing list of compositions and accomplishments an opera. Brava, Gabriela. Gabriela's mom was into art and introduced Gabriela at a very, very young age to various art forms. She remembers going to a flea market with her mom when little and coming across an encyclopedia of books of artists, thick books from throughout the ages. Gabriela also remembers noticing one tiny little thin encyclopedic book. It was the only one about a female artist. It was about Frida Kahlo. Gabriela was amazed that out of all the books, there was only one for a female artist. Gabriela's mom spoke to her about who Frida was, about how Frida had a brown mother and a white father, how Frida had a physical impairment, how Frida is a monumental, legendary artist. Gabriela realized that she too comes from a brown mother and a white father, and how she too has a physical impairment. Gabriela realized that Frida Kahlo was a sort of Wonder Woman, her newfound hero. Everyone knows Frida Kahlo, an artist, an icon, a woman, a wife, a saint. She has become a symbol, but there is so much more to her story. Frida was born near Mexico City, Coyoacán, in 1907. She would create her own freedom to transcend a life filled with pain. Frida had a bright future ahead of her, but a tragic accident would take everything at the age of 19 and twist it into a new direction, a fateful, fateful direction. This is a journal entry from Frida after her tragic trolley accident. "I was a child who went about in a world of colors, of hard and tangible forms. Everything was mysterious and something was hidden. Guessing hat, it was a game for me. If you knew how terrible it is to know suddenly, as if a bolt of lightning elucidated the earth. Now I live in a painful planet, transparent as ice. But it is as if I had learned everything at once, in seconds. I became old in an instant, and everything today is bland and lucid. I know that nothing lies behind. If there was something, I would see it." End quote. On a rainy day in 1925, Frida was riding a wooden bus home with her then boyfriend Alejandro. The bus collided with the streetcar, and Frida was seriously injured. Her spine and pelvis were each broken in 3 places, her right leg broken in 11 places, her foot entirely crushed, collarbone and 3 ribs were also broken. But the most horrifying thing was when the handrail went through her abdomen and out of her pelvis. A man who witnessed the accident ran to Frida and put his knee on her stomach and pulled the handrail out of her abdomen. When he did so, Frida's screams of pain and agony were so loud that it covered and eclipsed the sounds of the approaching ambulance sirens. She spent 1 month in the hospital and 8 months in bed recuperating at home. This is when and where Frida started to paint. At that moment, 2 Fridas were born. The first is the artistic icon that everyone will soon learn about, an independent, strong woman tormented by agony and love. The second is the artist unleashed from her physical restraints. The affliction of one fed the vision of the other. The energy of one kept the other alive. Frida once said, "I never paint my dreams. I've always painted my reality." The great love of her life was the celebrated Mexican painter, muralist, Diego Rivera. The complexity and difficulty of her relationship with Diego would dominate her entire adulthood, and in this opera, even in the afterlife. Many years ago, Gabriela and Nilo, the librettist, met for the first time in New York City over a cup of coffee. During their discussion, the idea of this opera haphazardly came to fruition. This is what Nilo said to Gabriela. "That's it. We need to marry Frida and Diego with the Day of the Dead in some way. That's our angle in. And this will be a fantasy. It will not be a biography." End quote. The music of this opera is as colorful and powerful as the storyline and the set design. The dark, menacing opening chord in the orchestra sets the tone and foreshadows the drama that's to come. It is the Day of the Dead, Día de los Muertos, with a beautiful, colorful set of flowers and candles intertwined with skulls, calaveras, and altars called ofrendas, and crosses, cruces. All these traditional elements are used to honor the deceased. It is a multi-day gathering of family and friends to pay respect to those who have died. Diego and the villagers are gathered at the cemetery on this Día de los Muertos to honor their departed ones. Diego is not only honoring his departed Frida, but yearning for her to come back to him. Frida used to call Diego panzón, big belly. She used to always call him frog, el sapo, el rana, because of his big eyes. Frida requested that when she die, her body be cremated and her ashes be put in a prehistoric ceramic urn shaped like a frog. The frog is to symbolize her love for Diego and how she will always be in him. Notice during the opening scene how Diego has Frida's frog-shaped urn with him at her altar, her ashes on the stage. La Catrina, what a character, oh my God. She is the keeper of the dead. She now enters the opening scene, dressed up as an old woman, lurking around the cemetery, slowly heading towards Diego with flowers for the dead and a menacing message for him. Listen for the ominous sounds coming from the orchestration. And in particular, listen for a sinister bassoon solo. The bassoon really colors the entrance of La Catrina and how she makes her way onto the stage. Diego reluctantly takes the flowers from this old woman, La Catrina, and he leaves. Once he leaves, she reveals herself as La Catrina, the keeper of the dead, and she is here to summon Frida back to the world. La Catrina says, "Bring back Frida Kahlo de Rivera from the world of the dead. Arise, Frida. Arise, Frida." Here is a clip of La Catrina summoning Frida back to the world. Clip number one, please. Wonderful, thank you. After she summons Frida, Frida magically and majestically appears. However, she refuses to go back to Earth. Frida says, "Why go back to the world when in life I had two major accidents, the impact of the trolley and the blow of meeting Diego Rivera?" End quote. The last words Frida Kahlo wrote in her diary before she died were, "I hope the exit is joyful, and I hope to never return." End quote. The drama and the tension of La Catrina and Frida is mirrored in the scurry of notes, intense colors and rhythms from the orchestra. The busy activity of all the instruments colors the chaos and agony of the meeting of La Catrina and Frida and their conflict. La Catrina wants her to go back. Frida denies. The refusal from Frida to go back to a world where agony and pain were paramount. Another stunning moment that happens right after that scene is during the entrance of Leonardo, who is an actor who portrays Greta Garbo. Leonardo, Greta Garbo, is trying to convince Frida to go back to the world, but for her art and to paint again without any pain. Frida, again, refuses. Frida does not want to go back. This beautiful interaction between Frida and Leonardo seems more like a trio because there is a phenomenal, tantalizing violin solo that has this beautiful color and rhythmic precision and presence to it. It's extremely tantalizing and really dances along to what Frida and Leonardo are singing and talking about. So listen to the impressive melodies and technical demands that the violinist impeccably delivers to fortify the action and drama on stage between Frida and Leonardo. So at the last moment, Frida relents and decides to return to the world of the living. But Frida has two rules imposed on her by La Catrina. She only has 24 hours, and she cannot touch the living. During the 24 hours, Frida and Diego will relive their tumultuous love through their paintings and embrace the passion they shared. Here is a music clip of the finale of Act One. This is the moment where Frida, along with the chorus of dead, ascend to the world of the living to visit their loved ones. The entire performing forces are at full throttle here. Every instrument, every chorus voice, and Frida coming together for a grand, exciting finale. As Frida says, I'm coming back to you, my art. Vuelvo a ti, mi arte. I'm coming back to you, my colors. Vuelvo a ti, mis colores. Return, volver. Forward, adelante. Here is a music snippet of the grand finale of Act One. Clip two, please. Vuelvo a ti,
goosebumps.
Oh, wait till you hear it and feel it in live. Oh my God, it's just so powerful. Just wonderful writing. Okay, so you will discover the rest of the drama as it unfolds during Act Two. I don't want to give away too much. Okay, one of the fortes, many fortes, strengths about Gabriela's writing is her ability to create dramatic tension in the orchestra and in the singers. There are moments in the opera where I want you to listen for flavors of mariachi playing in the trumpets and in the string section. The music exudes the flavor and essence of traditional Mexican music, as well as a contemporary flair. Gabriela's use of chromaticism, notes, neighboring notes, also helps to evoke tension, doom, and death, especially towards the end of the opera, when Diego makes a special plea to La Catrina, which brings this masterpiece to a riveting and heartfelt end. Frida once journaled, "I tried to drown my sorrows, but the bastard learned how to swim. And now I am overwhelmed by this decent and good feeling," end quote. In Gabriela's own words, opera is a grand art form, perfect for conveying the three worlds that Nilo creates in the story: the world of the living, the world of the dead, and a world of art. Yet I hope the audience will lean in when just a few instruments or gestures are used, as more intimate moments are conveyed, such as the tender scene between Frida and Leonardo, or the private moments between Frida and Diego as they revisit the dynamics of their relationship. Highlighting unusual yet beautiful colors from the orchestra is very important. The presence of the marimba in most scenes, combining celesta with piccolo and harp, wind chimes, these all support the various luminous elements of Nilo's story, end quote. A writer once said, because this is an experience that this person had many, many years ago. A writer once said, quote, "I was in the Palace of Fine Arts in Mexico and at the opera that night. It was an opera by Wagner, and the overture was being played, and suddenly a noise invaded the theater that silenced the orchestra. We all looked up to the balconies and saw the magnificent, regal entrance of Frida Kahlo. With all these jewels on, the necklaces, the rings, the bracelets, and the things in her hair, it all jangled in such a way like it was a cathedral gone mad. With all the bells jangling at the same time, made to distract from the weakness of her body, the fact that it was a crippled body, a dying body always. And she gave life through the jewels, the dresses, and the whole, her own opera. There was Wagner on stage, but there was Frida Kahlo on the balcony, and she was, that night at least, she was stronger than Wagner," end quote. That really did happen. And tonight, once in the balcony, now onto the stage, we bring you this opera about the iconic Mexican artist Frida Kahlo y Diego Rivera in El Último Sueño de Frida y Diego. Thank you for your time and your presence. My name is Jessica Bejarano, and it's been an honor to share with you a few pearls from this crown gem. We hope you enjoy the performance. Thank you very much.